Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, grab them, stand to your feet one more time, and let's read Psalm chapter 96, verses 1 through 9 together as the body of Christ today. I'm so excited to look to the Word and to talk to you about what the Lord's put on my heart today, and hopefully it's going to help you grow as a praiser and as a worshiper of our King. And so Psalm chapter 96, picking up in verse 9, it reads like this in the New King James. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let's pray today. Father, as we look to your word, we submit our lives to it. I thank you that the word has the power to transform our lives when we open ourselves up to it and receive the correction and the reproof and the instruction and righteousness that is needed. So God, I ask that those things would take place. Empty me of me, use me for your glory, for your honor, and may this word help us to be challenged to seek you with greater fervency, to love you with deeper intimacy, and to praise and worship you the way that you intended for us to do it, not just what we have learned by the traditions of man. We give ourselves to you today. We surrender this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're being seated, I want to say, Pastor Jeff and I did have an incredible trip into New Orleans to do some ministry during Mardi Gras, and there's still a team down there of about 100 people that are going out each night to minister to people, love on people, help people, share the gospel message with people, and so please keep them in your prayers. We left on Thursday. Thank you to everybody that prayed for us, that texted us. That meant the world to us. Thank you so much for your support, and we had a great time. We did get to talk to a few people. I'm going to say I don't have any amazing stories to come back and tell you, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some from this week, because something that I've learned from, I'd gone down and ministered at Mardi Gras, and I was telling some folks earlier that the ministry gets better as the week goes on for a couple reasons. One being, when people come into town on Friday or Saturday, they're all hyped up, they're ready to party, they got a lot of money, they got a lot of energy, they got a lot of excitement. As the week goes on, the money goes down, the excitement fades down, they're tired of waking up hungover, they kind of hit rock bottom, and that's when you get to step in and really begin to minister to some people. And so be praying for the team that is still down there, and I would love to see next year us take a team from here to go down there, and if that's something that you'd be interested in, you can look forward to that. It's a wonderful time, not just of ministry, but also a fellowship. Jeff and I, we laughed and just had a great time, but we also were hit with the reality of lost souls. And I'd been down there many times, but it had been a while, and I was overwhelmed by just the depravity and the gut-wrenching feeling of knowing this is somebody's son, this is somebody's daughter, and this is a soul that God is in anguish over. And if he's in anguish over them, I should be in anguish over them as well. And so I would encourage you, maybe you say, oh, I don't know if street ministry is for me. Trust me, I believe you need to go see this at least once, just to give you a heart for people and for souls. And so, and you might find you're more passionate about it than you think you are. Sometimes the best people at street ministry are the most unsuspecting people. And so I look forward to next year being able to go down there, hopefully together, if you want to come with us. And it's going to be a great time. I want to talk to you this morning about praise and worship. And we're going to cover a couple things. Number one, we're going to cover what true praise and worship are. What are they? What is praise? What is worship? And then we're going to cover how can we best praise and worship God. Because I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person, I want to know what's the best way to do it. I don't want to just do it. What's the best way that I can do it? And I believe that that kind of heart is really honoring to God. That we would be like, well, I'm not just going to offer him anything, because just this week I was thinking about Cain and Abel, where Cain brought a sacrifice to God that was really unacceptable to him. God didn't honor Cain's sacrifice, but Abel brought the best that he could possibly muster, and he presented it to God. And the Bible says God honored the sacrifice of Abel above that of the sacrifice of Cain. Why? I believe more than anything, it was the heart in which they brought it. And if you have a heart to say, God, I want to give you true worship, and I want to give it the best that I can possibly give it, that is so honoring to God. He looks down, and he loves that. So worship, to me, is simply this. Worship and praise, and we're going to talk about them. They are different, but I'm going to use them interchangeably, or not interchangeably, but I'm going to use them in tandem together today. Praise and worship is simply this. It's our response to who God is and what God has done. What do I mean by that? Because he created me in his image, I respond by giving him praise and worship. Because he allowed me to live this life. Because he allows me to wake up every single morning with his mercies being new. I respond to that by saying, God, you are worthy, you are faithful, and you are good. Because you redeemed my life when it did not look like it was worth redeeming. When I was 100% in the wrong, but you still sent your son to die on the cross and redeem me from a life not only on this earth of destruction, but eternal damnation in hell. I will respond by saying, thank you. Praise you that you didn't leave me in my sin. You didn't leave me in my destruction, but you redeemed me. You pulled me out. So I respond by praising you and worshiping you because you gave me the companionship of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to navigate this life on my own, unsure of what to do, where to go, but he's a continual guide and helper. I respond by saying, I praise you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with me and leading me and guiding me because you gave me hope when I was hopeless, because you gave me a purpose when I wasn't sure where I was going or what I was doing, because you are holy, because you are righteous, I will respond to who you are with praise and with honor, because you have never failed me, and I don't foresee that ever happening, because if you've been faithful to generation after generation and person after person, and you have never failed, I'll respond by saying, because you are faithful, I will give you the praise that you deserve. Because you know, every single failure I've ever committed or ever will commit, yet you still love me and you still lead me and you still have a plan for me and you've never given up on me, I will respond by saying, God, you're worthy. You're holy. You're good. I'm a firm believer that you worship God to the degree that you believe he is great. You worship God to the degree of greatness that you believe he possesses. If you don't truly worship God, you don't truly believe he's great. Because remember what the psalm said? David was a praiser, he's a worshiper. He said, he is great and he is greatly to be praised. That means David's perspective of God was that God was the greatest that there ever was. So therefore, his response to the greatness of God was to worship him in the beauty of holiness. So what do I mean by that? I mean this, that your worship is a direct reflection of who you think God is. The degree to which you worship is really a reflection, and it exposes and it shows the reality of this is who you think God is. If you don't praise God, you don't worship God, you don't truly believe he's great. You might see, you know, it in scripture, you might have heard other people say it, but if you truly believed God was great, you would celebrate him. Just like if you were to attend a football game, and let's say you were a fan of a certain team and they made a great catch for a touchdown, you would stand on your feet, you would shout, you would clap, you would hoop, and you would holler. Why? Because you believe that what they did was just great. It was significant. And so therefore, your response to what they did is to celebrate. It's to cheer. It's the same concept in Christianity, but yet we separate ourselves so much and we're like, I would never act that way in church. That would be so embarrassing. Right? And I'm not here to harp on you. I'm not here to try to make you feel bad. What I'm saying is this. If you do not find yourself in a place of true praise and worship, then it's a revealer. I don't have a good perception of who God is. Right? So we cannot claim to love God, believe that he's omnipotent, if we're not daily devoting time, effort, and energy into showing him the honor that he deserves. That's why David said in verse 7, give to the Lord glory. Give to God of your strength. Because when you truly believe God's the greatest force that ever has been, ever will be, he's the most loving, he's the most majestic being in the universe, you won't mind letting him and others know about it. You'll be willing to say, God, because here's what I've realized. If you truly believe in something, you're not ashamed to let others know where you stand. If you won't let other people know where you stand, you don't really believe it. You might have a theory, you might have an opinion, but it's kind of like back up to 2020. If you really believed that, you know, in, let's say, masks or vaccines or against them, the people that really believed a certain way about that didn't mind saying something. They didn't mind letting their opinion be known because they believed that their perspective, their opinion, was the right one. And it's the same way with worshiping God. If we really believe he's great, we don't mind other people knowing that we believe that. Okay? So, worship is this. Let me get to this. Definitions. Let's start with praise. There's 7 Hebrew words for praise, and we may do a series on this at some time. Can you put up those? It's in the what slide, praise. We're going to run through these very quickly. I'm not going to break all these down because we'd never get beyond this today if we did it, but we'll talk about it at some point. Praise. The first one is halal. That's the root word for hallelujah. When we say hallelujah, it means it's praise the Lord. But it means this, to jump or to dance. The word yada means to throw your hands up while making a confession about God. Like if you were to say, you are great, that's yada, okay? Toda means to lift, that's a typo on my part, to lift, not life, to lift your hands in thanksgiving. So yada is to throw your hands up and confess something about God. He's great, he's awesome, he's powerful. But then toda is to lift your hands and say, God, thank you so much. You see, there's different ways to praise God. He's not just coming here on a Sunday morning and singing whatever song is on the screen. These are ways that you can apply to your life and worship and praise God. Shabbat means a loud or a joyous. There's another, I do know how to spell joyous. I was in a hurry. Pastor Jeff and I got back late yesterday, and I was in a hurry making these slides. I was in a hurry. No, not late, but later than I normally. Y'all wait just a second. I'm just kidding. We're not going. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I did make them in a hurry. We didn't get back late. We got back later than I normally would begin preparing on a Saturday for Sunday morning. See, I'm not lying to you people. Thank you, Shelly. Thank you. At least somebody's for me. It's not my wife, but at least somebody's here with me. All right. I was homeschooled, and I do know how to spell joyous. A loud or joyous testimony. Zamar means to worship with an instrument. You ever wonder why instruments, right? Because instrumentation can bring glory to God. When Brother Dale's playing this instrument, he's not just helping us have melody. Even the notes that he plays is bringing glory to God. David said, I'll worship you on the stringed instruments. I'll worship you with a timbrel. I'll worship you. He mentioned cymbals. So if you have a problem with drums, you have a problem with the Bible because the Bible mentions cymbals. So zamar, to worship with an instrument. Barak means to kneel in reverence. Tehillah means to sing a spontaneous, which means unrehearsed song from your spirit. So these are the 7 Hebrew words of praise. And there's so much more we could say about each and every one of these, but I want you to understand what praise is. It's not just a song that we sing. This is how we show praise to God, okay? So that's what praise is. Then we're going to talk about worship. Because in Psalm 96, it says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then it says, worship God. So there's a difference because there's there's 7 words for praise. There's actually 1 word for worship, and it is shaka. It means to bow down, to pay homage, to crouch, fall flat, or do reverence. And it's amazing to me that the Hebrew definition of worship has so much to do with simply lowering yourself. Why is this big? Because you can't make God any higher or greater than he already is. When we say, be lifted up, be exalted, be magnified, he's bigger than anything. You can't make him any bigger. You can't make him any greater. You can't make him any more powerful because he's already omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You cannot make him any greater. But let me give you this. It's all because worship is all about perspective. Okay? So right now, you think I'm higher than you are. Why? Because you're sitting on a lower level than I'm standing. So this is worship. Worship is when I come lower, my perspective makes him higher. He's not any higher than he already was because he's greater than anything that we could ever possibly imagine. We cannot, if we were to make him more powerful, that would mean that he needs us. That would mean that he's not sufficient all on his own. He's as powerful as you ever can be and as big as you could ever imagine. So to worship means, it's like this. If you were on top of a mountain, your perspective is different than at the bottom of the mountain. From the bottom of the mountain, you would go, well, that sure is high up there, actually. But then you go up there and you're there. Your perspective is different, right? The mountain didn't change. What changed? Your perspective of the mountain changed. Your perspective from the mountain. And so many people don't truly worship God because they don't understand true humility. Because they think that humility is weakness. But humility is not weakness. And there's a really bad ring, or every time I speak in this microphone, it's like this weird frequency that's coming through. Can I try that one? Thank you. Still going. It may not be the mic. It may be them working next door or something. I don't know. Is it them? Yeah. Okay. All right. So worship, but humility is not weakness. That's not what it is. Humility is understanding that God is greater than we are. And that doesn't make me weak, because I'm exactly how he wants me to be. And in my weakness, he is made strong. And so worship is all about understanding that I've got to lower myself so that I can see him at a greater depth. So when we lower ourselves, you know what we're really doing? We're saying you're superior. You're greater. You're higher. It means this. This is my definition of worship: to live life with the intent to bring glory to God in everything that we do. That's the simplest definition of worship I can come up with. God, I want to bring you glory no matter what I'm doing. If I'm at church, if I'm working, if I'm playing with my children, if I'm all alone, I want to bring glory to you. That's what praise and worship is. Now I want to show you another what. I've got a 10 points here of what praise or worship can look like or can be. Because maybe you're like, well, I don't know. I see what you're saying, but how do I actually praise and worship? Well, here's 10 biblical things that you can do to praise and worship God. Number one, singing. Notice in Psalm chapter 96 that we read earlier, 3 times in the first 2 verses, David says, sing. Sing. Okay? Number 2, bowing. That is the literal definition of worship, to bow. Okay? And then number 3, the lifting of hands. That may seem weird to you, but you look at the definitions of praise, 2 of them included the lifting of hands. And so that may be abnormal. Maybe you didn't grow up in a church that lifted hands. Maybe you look around like, why they got their hands up right now? Because it's an expression of what's going on inside of saying, God, I want to give you praise. I'm lifting my hands. Number 4, clapping. You may say, why do they say give a clap at the end of songs? Or why do people clap, you know, when a song ends or whatever? Because the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. And then it says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You may think it's weird that we shout hallelujah or praise the Lord or thank you, Jesus, but we're simply doing what the Bible instructs us to do, because it says clap your hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Just like you would shout at a football game when your team scores a touchdown, because you're like, that is bringing us one step closer to victory. We have a God that already won the victory, and so we can shout knowing that he's a victorious Savior. Next is waiting. You realize that waiting is worship? Because if you go to the Hebrew definition of wait, it literally means to serve, to wait before someone like a servant. And really, that's what worship is, to say, I'm bringing myself into a place of subjection to you. You're greater than I am. So when you wait on the Lord, you're serving him, obeying. In fact, Samuel said to obey is greater than sacrifice. When we obey God, we're honoring him through our obedience. Number nine, surrendering. Like I was talking about this morning during transition, where I was just in a moment, I just had my hands up. I was like, God, I give it all to you right now. Just surrendering to him. Number 10, serving. When you serve, like I mentioned, Brother Dale playing the keyboard, he's serving in the house of the Lord. And through his service, yes, his notes, he's serving the Lord. It's like his serving is multiplied because, one, he may be singing praise to God. He's playing an instrument, which is worship to God. And he's serving in the house of the Lord. And so God is getting glory times three. So we don't realize what we're doing when we begin to praise. If you get on your knees and lift your hands, God's getting double glory. Because you're doing two things that he says and defines as praise and worship. He's getting praise and worship at the same time. So these 10 things, they're all biblical expressions of praise and worship. But maybe you look at these things and you go, I don't know about singing. I don't know about bowing. I don't know about lifting my hands. I don't know about clapping. I don't know about shouting. I definitely don't know about dancing, right? I don't know about waiting, obeying, surrendering, serving. Here's the thing. Nowhere does it say you must do these things publicly. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, because I believe what I was talking about earlier, if you truly believe in something, you're not ashamed of other people knowing about it. But you can start in private, singing and bowing. Lifting your hands. Maybe you're not comfortable yet on a Sunday morning to put your hand up. Try it when you're all alone. Just do it. Just try it. Because here's the thing. Pride is the thief of true praise and worship. Because your flesh doesn't want to do any of those things. Your flesh, because you're like, that's embarrassing. But your pride and your insecurities will rob you of the praise and the worship that God truly deserves. I love what Matt Redman said. He wrote the song we sang today, I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, and hundreds of other songs. He says this, praise is a contradiction of pride. Pride says, look at me. But praise longs for people to see Jesus. That's what praise is. And so praise is literally the contradiction. When you choose praise or you choose worship, you choose to lift your hands, you're saying, I am contradicting pride. Because pride is vying for your attention. Pride wants you to rob God of the glory that he's due. Pride wants you to keep your hands in your pocket because you think, I got warts on them and I don't want anybody to see them. Pride wants you to remain standing when you're like, I kind of want to bow. I want to take a different perspective. I want to get lower. Pride says, don't sing because the person next to you may judge you because you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Pride says, you don't need to serve. People need to be serving you. But praise says, don't look at me. And I think about the woman, and we sang, here it is, my alabaster heart today. I think about the woman that came before Jesus, and she broke an alabaster flask, which was contained a year's worth of wages of costly perfume, and she broke it at the feet of Jesus. And she poured it on his feet, and she wiped his feet off with her hair. And they begin to judge her. The disciples, and they said, this is ridiculous. This could have been sold. This could have been, and Jesus said, you leave her alone because you don't understand what she's doing right now. She's anointing me for my burial. And the moral of the story for me is this. People are not always going to understand your praise. They're not always going to understand your worship. They may not understand why you shout, why you dance, why you clap. But at the end of the day, when you get your eyes on Jesus, and you contradict pride, and you say, I'm not worried if they're looking at me or not. I want them to look at Jesus. I want them to see him for who he really is. So we've talked about what praise is, what worship is. Now let's talk about how. Number one in the how department is scripture. Number two is sacrifice. And number three is sincerity. I want to break all of these down for us to have a better understanding. What do I mean by scripture? Sadly, in the grand scope of praise and worship in today's day and age, scripture is very overlooked when songwriting takes place. It's more about what is acceptable, what is popular. And this has been going on for years. I'm not just judging this generation, but we try to make sure the songs that we sing here, I look over the lyrics, I listen to the lyrics. It's not just, is it popular? Does it sound good? Do people connect with it? If it's not scripturally sound, we're not going to sing it because I don't want to sing bad doctrine. In fact, if you go over and you read 1 Timothy in chapter 3, Paul writes a hymn for Timothy, and he's basically telling them, sing this in the church, and it's all God was manifested in the flesh. He was seen by angels. He's telling the gospel story in the midst of a hymn. Why? Because we need to make sure that what we're singing is absolute truth. Because when you, if you truly engage your heart with something, if it's not truth, then what are you engaging with? There is no gray matter in truth or lies. There's only truth or lies. And so if we are worshiping to lies, then we're not worshiping the Father. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to make sure that what we're singing and the way in which we sing it is linked to Scripture. If a lyric, a song, an action that someone performs is not supported, confirmed, and instructed in Scripture, we ought not to include it in our praise of God. I couldn't tell you how many lyrics I've changed just to make them more scriptural. It's not that they were heresy, but I just thought it was like, it would be more in line with Scripture if we said this. Let's just say that. You know, hopefully I don't get sued for that one day. You know, somebody finds out this guy in Alabama has been changing my song lyrics. But I want to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. Because why? Because the Word of God is obviously our source of truth. It's our instruction. But it's filled, especially the Psalms. The Word of God is filled with instructions regarding praise and worship. We would be amiss if we disregarded those because they don't fit into our cultural experience that we call church. Oh, well, that's not how we worship anymore. Well, it doesn't really matter. Worship isn't about what you want to do anyways. And so we have to look to Scripture. Because if the Bible tells us to do it, I'm sorry, John, could you put up that 10-point list again of singing and dancing and clapping and shouting? These are all instructed in Scripture as things that God wants His people to do. Now, if the Bible tells us to do it, it's because God wants it. But what does that mean? God getting what God wants is what makes Him Lord in our life. If He says He wants something and we don't give it, that means we retain total control. We'll give Him control in certain areas, but God, I'm not going to dance for you because that's uncomfortable for me. I'm not going to shout for you because what if the Israelites, when God said, march around the city 7 times at Jericho and then shout, they were like, that's too embarrassing. The people in Jericho are going to laugh at us. They never would have taken the city. They had to follow the instruction given by the Lord. And because they did, they saw the victory. And so, God getting what God wants is what makes Him Lord in our life. And that's why I said, try it behind closed doors. If you're not comfortable to do it outside, start somewhere. But don't just go, I can't do that. We're not going to be quitters. We're not going to give up. We're going to say, all right, God, if you instructed in your word, and then I'm going to do it. Right? So, number 2 is sacrifice. In fact, Marshall and I were talking about this the other day. The first time worship is ever mentioned in all of Scripture is Genesis chapter 22. And it's when God tells Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to go to the mountain, which I will show you, and there I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice. So, Abraham rises early the next morning. He packs up everything that is needed. His son, servants, donkeys, wood, fire, and a knife. And they begin to travel. And they go to Mount Moriah, which is now the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And when they get there, God shows them that mountain. Abraham turns to his servants and he says, you stay here while we go yonder and worship. That's literally what he said. In fact, I think he said, y'all stay here and we'll go yonder and worship. Because I think Abraham was from Alabama. He said, you guys stay here. But what did he say? They were going on the top of that mountain, and he was going to sacrifice his son. Had full intent. You know the rest of the story. He literally gets the knife raised. Had full intent of sacrificing his son. And he called it, the first time we ever hear the word, shakah, worship. We're going to go yonder. We're going to worship. Why? Because worship is always tied to sacrifice. And so is praise. I quoted it earlier. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. The actual verse is in Hebrews, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. All true praise and worship is rooted in this, your willingness to submit your life to Him. Like Jesus said, not as I will, but your will be done. His sacrifice of the cross was the greatest example of praise and worship that we could ever have, where he said, I'm laying my life down. Not what I want, but what God wants. So sacrifice, and that's where singing, dancing, clapping, it will be a sacrifice to your flesh. You will be putting pride on the altar and killing it when you choose, I'm going to lift my hands. Why? Because the Bible tells me to. Because God wants it, and God's going to get it. When you get on your knees and you say, this is uncomfortable, I don't know if I'll be able to get up if I get down there. That's why it's a sacrifice. You get down there, and you try it. You shout before the Lord, and it'll feel so awkward, but you know what else? It'll feel good because it's a sacrifice to the Lord. And so true worship, it has to line up with Scripture. It must be made in sacrifice. And then the third is sincerity, meaning simply this, it's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. I found this quote this week. It says, in worship, it's better to have heart with no words than words with no heart. How many people go into praise and worship every Sunday, Wednesday, and they sing words, but their heart's not connected? Jesus said, there's a people that they praise me with their lips, yet their hearts are far from me. So in worship, it's better to have fullness of heart, the heart engaged, and not even, maybe you come here and you're like, I don't know the words to these songs, so that's why we put them up there for you. But maybe even then, first time you hear something, it's really hard to engage, right? It's like this. If I were to say, everybody sing with me, okay? I'm literally saying this. Everyone sing with me. I'm completely, deeply, sold out, sincerely abandoned. See, y'all don't know that song. That's okay. It's brand new. So I can't expect you to sing with me. Now if I say this, y'all sing with me, okay? You ready? I'm coming back to the heart of worship where it's all about you. Now, John, can you put those lyrics back up there for that song that we sang earlier, I'm coming back to the heart of worship? Now sing it. Well, can you put a background? There we go. Thank you so much. Now sing it with me. I'm coming back to the heart of 100% participation. Why? Because you know the song. And you can see the lyrics on the screen. And so, therefore, we can engage together. Why is that so important? Because we can sing by ourselves at home. We can praise by ourselves at home. We can worship by ourselves at home. But when we come together, something precious happens in the eyes of God when he sees a community of people come together and begin to sing. So you wonder, why this song or that song? If we sang that song I sang first, I'm completely, deeply sold out, sincerely abandoned. Once we sang it 4 or 5 times, you'd know it, yeah. Right? But what if you came in and every single Sunday we sang songs you'd never heard before? It'd be really hard to engage in worship. And we'd have a terrible worship experience. Not because you don't love God, but because it's just hard to engage in something that you don't know. And so you may wonder, I was a worship leader for like 7 years before we started this church. And even in the time we planted the church, people are always coming to me. Y'all should do this song. Y'all should do this song. I don't mind that because that's one way to find new songs. What I do mind is when people come back and go, why didn't you do the song that I sent you? Well, because nobody would know it, and it's difficult to engage in. And so we try to choose songs that is, even if you've never heard it, by the second time you hear it, you could sing. Why? Because the goal of coming here is not for you to hear us play. It's for you to sincerely open your heart. And so I want to choose songs that by the second time, you don't have to think about it. You can sincerely say my heart and my mouth are engaged at the same time. Because I've been in worship sets where I go to a church and it's obvious that the only people that know this song are the worship team. All of them, right? And they're playing their heart out. And what I have to do is engage my heart, which is fine. But you know what's even better? When I can engage my heart and my mouth. Why? Because God is getting 2 times the glory when I do that. And so that's why it's important that when we come together, we can sing these songs together and worship God in sincerity of heart. Because I truly believe that you can perform every motion perfectly, but if your heart is not engaged, then all you're doing is going through the motions. I've gone through the motions. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing powerful about it. There's nothing engaging about it. Like I lifted my hands at the right time. I clapped when the song was over. I got on my knees and I didn't feel anything. Why? Because I did not begin that worship encounter. Not just experience, but encounter. I want you to look at worship not just as an experience, because you can experience Disneyland, but you can encounter Jesus. It's not just, oh, wow, what an experience. And there's you can get an experience anywhere. And guess what? You may be able to get a better experience. When Pastor Jeff and I were in Mardi Gras, we walked past these bars and past these bars, okay? And there was people in there jamming out that are a million times the musician that I will ever think about being. That's an experience. What we want here is we want to encounter. We want you to know God, to engage your heart, and not just go through the motions of it's time to clap, it's time to lift hands, it's time to shout, because I've been in services where everybody shouted and God didn't show up because hearts weren't engaged. That's why David wrote in Psalm chapter 57, my heart is steadfast, O God. If you search out that word steadfast, you'll find at the root, it means this, my heart is fixed on you. I want to encourage you, when you come to praise and worship, start. Don't wait to see, are they going to get it? Are they going to get excited? Are they going to play my song? Are they going to get to a good spot? Go, God, my heart is engaged. Because it's better to have no words with an engaged heart than to have in whatever the opposite is. I got confused on that. You know what I'm saying. Put the quote back up there for me, John, please, so that the people know. Are there any typos in this one, though? Because if so, just don't put it up there. Did I give you that quote? No, maybe not. Okay, it was up there. Let me read again. In worship, it is better to have heart with no words than words with no heart. But what's best is when we can engage both words and heart, both hands and heart, both knees and heart, that we are giving God all the glory that we can. And so I want to encourage you, in everything, be sincere. What does that word sincere mean? It means free of pretense. The Bible says in the book of Romans, let love be without hypocrisy. Meaning, if you, no matter how you're showing love, if it's to God, if it's to others, don't let it be a show. Don't let it be in pretense. Let it proceed from a genuine feelings of love and admiration. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Don't look at somebody else's praise and go, well, maybe if I try it their way, I'll feel what they're feeling. Why don't you just engage your heart and say, God, I want to be sincere. I want to worship you. Sincere literally means this, lacking hypocrisy. Maybe, did you know that, to me, if someone were to say, you're lacking hypocrisy, that's like the highest compliment you could pay me. Because the last thing I want to be is fake. I don't want to be a fake Christian. I don't want to be a fake lover of my wife. I don't want to be a fake good dad. I don't want to be a fake praiser, a fake worshiper. The greatest compliment that someone ever could say to me is, you may make mistakes, but you're sincere. You're not hypocritical. You don't say one thing and do another thing. You'll admit when you're wrong. And you know what? You don't worship God just because that's how church in America does it. But your heart is truly engaged. And listen, if your heart will truly engage in worshiping God, it will begin to make a difference in other people's lives too. They'll begin to take note of it. They'll begin to see it. And there will be a hunger sparked inside of them that they want to do the same. So if you want your children to get on fire for God, the best thing you can do is not push them. It's to get on fire for God yourself. If you want your children or your spouse or your coworkers to come to know Christ, the best thing you can do is exemplify Christ to them. Not just tell them about him. Telling them about Christ is great. We should do that. But the best thing is show genuinely I love him. I want to praise him. I want to worship him. I'm not ashamed of him. And so we've got to worship God in line with Scripture, because if we get outside of the lines of Scripture, that's when things get weird. I don't know about you, but I've seen some people do weird stuff in praise and worship. We showed up to a conference one time. Yeah, exactly. Dale knows. He's been to conferences before. That's a man who's been to a conference before. And this brother had a sword in one hand and a rain stick in the other. And I was like, is this voodoo or is this Christianity? And he's in the back of the sanctuary just wielding this sword. I guess he thought he was slaying demons or something. I don't know what he thought he was doing. He's just, wow. And I'm like, if a child walks by, they will be decapitated. This man had a real sword. And then he puts it down and he rain sticks. He's just like, and I'm just like, what dimension are we in right now? This is weird. I'm serious. I wanted to leave. I was like, this is strange. Now, here's the other thing, though. If that guy's heart was genuine, I shouldn't be judging him. Is it weird? 100%. 100%. Is it dangerous? You better believe it is. Dangerous as all get out. But if his heart was genuine, I believe God was looking at him and thinking, that boy needs some wisdom, but he sure does love me. Right? But when you don't worship and praise in line with Scripture, it will get weird. It'll just get out there and you'll begin to come up with your own designs and your own. God already gave us the perfect way to praise him and worship him. We don't have to create new ways to do it. Let's follow what he told us to do. Let's be sincere. The greatest moments of worship I've had is just, it wasn't the greatest band experience. It wasn't the greatest music or light experience. It was when people said, we just love God. And you know why? You know, the people that love God the most are the people that know the most about God's love for them. That's really where it starts. Because what is worship? It's our response to who God is and to what God has done. At the root of every praise you ever utter, at every action of worship that you perform, should be a heart that says, I'm doing this because of what you did for me. Not for what you can do for me, but what you've already done for me. Because of who you are. Because you're faithful. Because you're good. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. And the greatest expression of worship is to live for God outside of the church as much as you do inside the church. That you go out and you say, Lord, let every heartbeat, let everything that I do, let every word I say, every action I perform be to bring you glory and to bring you honor and to bring you praise. Let it be said that when people talk to us or about us, they say, I see Jesus in that person. You do everything that you can to give God glory. You do it to the best of your ability. And you're not a hypocrite. You're not two-faced. You're not just acting like you love God. You really love God, don't you? You really believe this stuff. Let us be without hypocrisy. Worship in line with Scripture, giving sacrifice to God, and saying, you know what? I'm going to be sincere, genuine. Would you bow your head with me today? Father, I pray for every single heart that's represented here or maybe is listening to this at a later date. And Father, I pray that you would show us areas in our life where maybe we've gotten out of line of Scripture. Maybe we're not doing weird stuff. Maybe we're just not doing what you did say to do. Show us. Reveal it to us, God. We don't want to let the rocks cry out. We want to give you glory. We want to give you praise. God, if there's something that we're withholding, maybe there's a sacrifice like you wanted Abraham to give Isaac in our life, and there's something you've been calling us to give up, calling us to do, calling us to not do, and we're saying, no, no. And today you're pricking our heart saying, that's worship. If you'll lay it down, that's honor to me. That's glory to me. That's praise that you're withholding and robbing me of. God, help us to give you the sacrifice of praise. Maybe it's as simple as lifting hands, getting on our knees, telling you we love you, telling somebody else about you. And God, let us be sincere. We don't want to just go through the motions. The worst thing would be to say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And you say, I didn't know you because we were all words and no heart. But God, let us engage our heart and be truly sincere and genuine in our praise and worship of you. Help us to not be ashamed, but help us to love you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And may we grow in praise and grow in worship and grow in our knowledge of your love for us so that we can also increase in our love for you and for others. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you grow in praise and worship of our glorious Savior and our wonderful Father and our awesome companion, the Holy Spirit. And may you be blessed in all that you do. God bless you. Amen.